Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at Kizik.com/socks.
So Drew and I went on the Slapshot Sweetheart podcast live stream for the second period of, I think it was game three of, or maybe it was game two of the Bruins Islanders series. I don't, whatever. Doesn't matter what game it was.
Dark but time.
Yeah, just the worst time to go on the podcast that wasn't game six. And literally, like, I sent the video to Cam. Very funny. Just the, like, we both came on. And they were like, hey, welcoming on like new friends, like Drew and Chris from the Brews and Bruins podcast. And like, you can see on the video, we're both like talking and saying shit, but like both of our mics are muted. And Megan goes, yep, you're both muted.
Episode 55, so this is 56.
Hot start.
Episode 56, I think, of Brews and Bruins, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast presented by Bruins Die Hard, sponsored by DraftKings. Speaking of DraftKings, the second round is in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders to give you some skin in the game and so that you can feel
the
sweat. DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day of the basketball playoffs. And the best part, can y'all guess the best part?
What's the best part, Drew?
Drew, what is the best part?
Free to play! DraftKings free.
I would never have guessed that.
Are easy to enter. Just download DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests. DraftKings is safe. Skipping two paragraphs. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app. None of those fake ones. None of the four-star ones. The five-star. Actually, I don't know if it's five stars. It's probably 4.4. Top-rated DraftKings app now. Use promo code THPN, like the Hockey Podcast Network, THPN. When you sign up, you get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. No matter what you play, just use the promo code THPN when you sign up, and there's bound to be some benefits for you. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for all of those pesky little details. As you know by now, I'm here. I'm Drew Johnson. I'm with Cam Hasbrook and Chris Gear. The three of us are together, which is rare. And we have Kat Silverman as well. So it's really just a magnificent combination of people here. If you listen to our last episode, sorry. We have this one for you. We have this one for you.
The one where Mikey was like, yeah, we got to cut it off at an hour. We started 15 minutes at least late and then went an hour 40.
So I'm hoping this one's going to be a little shorter than the last one. But how are y'all? It's the same day. So what's new from new from when we just finished recording?
What's new is I have a dog in my bed now, and if you can hear snoring, it's because pugs they're just like horribly designed animals, and they just like can't breathe right.
Oh my god. You say that like your Chihuahua can breathe right, though.
The things that Chihuahuas can do are breathe right, dig holes, make forts out of blankets, and that's about it. They yap
and shake and shake.
They can shake. It's, when it's 80 degrees out, they'll be fucking freezing.
I do not have a dog in my bed, but I'm wearing one leg pad because it's the only one I can fit on.
What? Wait, no, you're wearing goalie gear right now?
I'm wearing one pad. They've been sitting in my room because I bought them, I just like looking at them. So they've been sitting in my room, and I don't really have much room in my apartment. I kind of live in a closet. So I'm going to have to move them downstairs eventually. Okay. But you know, I'm just waiting a long time for these bad boys. So
I turn around and Kat has removed the glasses.
Yeah, I kept seeing the reflection from the screen on them. They're probably going to go back on in a second. I can't see anything.
I know the feeling.
I don't have a dog in my bed either. I'm also not.
You could if you wanted to.
You got to stop saying that because I really want that dog.
He is available for adoption.
The very amazing monster that you live with keeps like posting pictures of that dog, and she's like, "You could have it." #adopt. Don't shop. I'm like, stop telling me that. I'm gonna say yes.
That goes for that anyone listening out there.
That dog's very drivable for me. That dog's extremely drivable for me. I could be there in a couple hours.
Not only that, but the whole foster, extremely drivable. Everybody check out Frosted Faces Foundation if you're in the southwestern United States.
That's a wonderful plug right there.
Or if you're willing to drive even further for a dog.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
I feel like people have.
Most of the dogs they have are very small, so you could absolutely fly. And I think
just fly them on an all.
I think like 80% of the dogs they have are small enough to fly carry on.
So cute. That's amazing.
What is this podcast again?
this is the Adopt Senior Dogs podcast.
PSA.
Dogs. By the way, they said that this dog, Gaston, who is a pug, is 13 years old. He can jump on and off the couch like it's no big deal. He's probably more like 7 or 8.
Have you taken them to a vet to verify?
They
can usually verify a dog's age. Is that
they cut them open and count the rings, and we felt like that was an extreme thing to do.
Like an extremely dark turn.
They have them checked out at a vet, and the vet usually checks out their teeth and other things to like indicate how old the dog is. And this dog has like really nice teeth. Check out this pug's teeth. I'm not going to actually show you.
You want to grab the dog and open it? He's chilling, he or she.
It's a he. Like, Gaston is
probably a
he. Because no one fights like Gaston. Something about that, yeah. Right.
I don't. Okay.
You're not a beauty beast, man. Sure.
This is off to the world.
Well, I kind of zoned out for a second and I came back into you singing and I was like, is this like Les Mis?
Is this the end of the podcast?
Les Mis and what's an alcohol? It starts with L. Limoncello. Ooh. Les Mis and Limoncello.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not the same syllable, but anyway. I have nothing planned for this. I said I'd host because it's like my turn.
There's nothing planned.
This is fine.
I believe you had said you planned on making it more goalie specific for this episode.
Yes.
Since Kat's on it. But Kat can talk about things that aren't goalies. I mean, she knows more about regular hockey that we do. So.
Knows more about just about anything that we do, let's be honest.
Not the record Cowboys. Show, by the way, that I didn't know if you guys did the beer intro at the start of everything. So I have stolen a beer from Richie Flores of the Corey and Richie, the Sporty with Corey and Richie show.
We need to do a crossover with them as well.
We should do a three-way crossover. We should just get, what is that, eight people on the same podcast?
So that's I don't enough. Know how that would work. Because
poorly is how it would work.
You have to share internet with, well, you have good internet now, so that's not a problem. Sharing internet with Richie is not an issue.
The fact that nobody ever told me that I looked like I was from 1996.
It's mean to say. Like,
I can afford better internet.
I just thought it was like an artistic choice. You know?
Let the right. So we could afford better internet. There are two internet providers in this part of Phoenix, and one of them is CenturyLink. They're nice people. They're like easy to get a hold of. They're who I had at my last apartment. And the other one is Cox, who are like very mean and super expensive.
Yeah. So shouts to Cox, who are like monopolized our area in San Diego for years. And then AT&T came and saved us.
They're expensive as shit.
I now pay almost $100 less per month for better internet.
That much AT&T. For you is tragic. But no, we had CenturyLink because I had them at my last place. And so when I moved, they told me, they said, you know, you can always just put it on pause. We don't have a monthly fee deposit. And then you can just restart it at your new place. There's no activation fee, nothing like that. And I was like, oh, perfect. And so I get to my new place and the fastest internet speed they could offer me, like not that I qualified for, but that they offer in this area, is 16 megabits of download speed.
Fuck yeah.
Because I live right by Gila River Arena in Arizona. So like, please don't come find me. But it used to be a farm. And then when they built Gila River and the Cardinals Stadium, they started building all these like nice apartments and townhomes for people who were in the area and who work nearby and for people who work with the teams. And it's a really nice area in a really scummy part of town, but like a really nice area.
So wait,
it just used to be a farm and they never upgraded the internet.
Did you move to like Glendale before they moved from Phoenix to Glendale, or
no,
did you do that?
They moved in 2002. So no,
okay. I have no concept of.
No, they moved in 2002. Maybe 2003. 02 or 03, something like that. And
I didn't realize
it was that. It was like around the Shane Doan retirement, and they were like, yeah, we're moving to. I think that was they changed their name from Phoenix to.
No, they changed that in 2014.
Okay.
Shane Doan retired.
I was closer with that.
Two years ago. But no, so Cox is like substantially more expensive, but they offer us. I don't even know how to multiply it out because it's like 680 megabits instead of 16. And so Richie and I finally grew sick of watching our Netflix buffer just to watch like it. Well,
and Kat and I both compared internet. Was it download or upload speed?
Yeah, it was download speed.
Download speed. We compared it. Though. Mine's supposed to be 1,000 megabits per second. And Kat's is what you said, 680 or something.
Yeah. Mine is faster.
Hers is faster than mine.
But yeah, it was great though, because I called CenturyLink and they were like, oh, so why are you leaving us? And I said, because you only offer 16 megabits of download speed, and both of us that live here work from home a good amount, and it wasn't working. Like, we couldn't. Richie would try to upload his podcast and it would take like 20 minutes to upload the file. So he finally called me one day while I was at work and he's like, hey, I'm getting us new internet. And I was like, okay, you have my information, like put my card on it. And so we now have like adequate internet, which is kind of, it's weird not watching like a tweet have to load before it posts. So I was getting faster internet by using my phone's hotspot than I was from our actual Wi-Fi. Yeah, but CenturyLink was shocked. They were like, why are you leaving? I was like, because you offer me internet from 1992. And they were like, is there anything we can do to keep you to stay? And I was like, you can speed up our internet. If you
get better you internet.
Can maybe come out yeah, here just, and like, upgrade your shit.
The internet. And they tried to get me to stay and keep it as a backup. I was like, I'm not paying $60 a month for backup internet that I can like maybe download an ebook on. So no.
When I moved off of Cox internet, the phone call I had with the guy was very funny because we had already switched. Like I have DirecTV, and so you can package DirecTV with AT&T right. internet for like way cheaper. And so it was like $30 a month or something like that. And I was paying like $130 a month for Cox internet.
That checks out.
So I called Cox to cancel because they already like brought the shit and like set it up and it was like good to go. So I called to cancel and the guy was like, so like, what could we do to like keep you? And I was just like, well, can you compete with better internet speeds for $100 less per month? And the guy was like, no, we could have gotten you like a little bit of a discount, but not that much. How about like I keep your number on file if you ever like are dissatisfied with your service with AT&T? And I was like, yeah, you can do whatever you want, man.
Do you have that problem?
This has been decided.
Drew, Cam, do you guys have that problem? Because I know what? In New York we had a... Oh, who was it? It was a...
Time Warner?
Yes. God, yeah. It was Time Warner.
We were like Billy, Time Warner became crazy. Spectrum and we're monopolized
that was,
in
that
Portland.
That was Satan's internet. That was
yeah.
Satan's internet provider.
Yeah, we went Time Warner to Comcast from like my senior year of college.
Time Warner was fun because like... If the internet went out, which it did like every 3 weeks, you had to go online to schedule a repair. You couldn't call.
Brilliant.
That was before because yeah. like Chris,
Twitter took their took their cue from that.
Yeah. Like Chris, I'm old, so
yeah, we're a couple of olds on this podcast.
That was before you could access the internet from an iPhone. Without
internet. You had to have internet to access the internet.
So I did so much of my homework. There was a Barnes and Noble a mile up the road in Queens, and I used to have to walk there all the time because like the internet wouldn't work, and I'd have to go and get online at Barnes and Noble to let them know that my internet wasn't working. And I think that's why I liked CenturyLink, because they were very nice
family company, you know.
And I was, yeah.
Just you don't want a family company. You don't want a mom and pop internet store.
I keep getting ads on Facebook saying that CenturyLink has gotten into the like gigablast era. Like they have.
I don't know what that means.
Gigabit
but...
internet speed. It's the gigabyte download speed.
Like
it's what
fiber.
Yeah, it's like fiber, and they've gotten into that. And I was like, really? So you added that in areas, but you can't add even just like 150. If they'd gotten to 150, like I would have stayed, but 16 is
so speaking well, of the
welcome
internet.
To tech and Motueka Hops.
put in your
internet questions and we'll answer your tech questions.
Speaking of the internet, has anyone seen Bo Burnham's new special on Netflix?
I did,
no,
yes.
I want to watch it.
Richie has.
I have not.
Very, very, very good.
So I liked it, didn't love it. I'm a fan of Bo Burnham's. I think he's talented, not like I just don't like a lot of his shit sometimes. And this was one of those things where it was like I wanted it to be funnier. But
wait, if you didn't like it, though, I think I will.
But
I don't like Eliza Schlesinger.
I thought it was one of the best. That was one of the best things I've seen in a long time because it wasn't all comedy. It was part comedy, well, so, part musical, part documentary about his experience.
So that's the
COVID.
Thing. So I rated it as 4 out of 5 stars on Letterboxd. Follow me on Letterboxd at Top Gear.
I've never even heard of that.
Away.
It's a really great. So I have a film podcast. Check out Ballot.
Because it's just plugging everything else.
And Fairweather Friends. Don't forget about Fairweather.
Well,
that's
Fairweather Fans, which I think is honestly
you plugged your other podcast.
Fairweather Fans.
I'm
taking no credit for this whatsoever. My buddy Frau. Came up with the name for that podcast. Wow. So I live in San Diego. He lives in Orlando, and it's a Boston sports podcast. And he came up with the name Fairweather Fans, and I thought that's like the best name for a podcast.
No, it's a great name. It is. You have well made podcast. I'll say that. I haven't really listened to them.
Yeah. So I have a film podcast, and so my buddies were like, "Hey, there's this cool app called Letterboxd where you can go and you can just like log all of the films that you watch, and you can choose to." Rate, review them, whatever, or not, and just like there's like a little plus button you search and put in the movie, and it's really good for keeping track of, you know, we do like an end of year podcast where we talk about our favorite movies of the year, and you can make lists and rank movies in different categories, and it's really helpful with that. And I got super into it and got like a pro account. It's like $20 a year or something like that, and you can duplicate people's lists and all sorts of shit, and there's no ads and whatnot. So shouts to Letterboxd, like that place. It's good stuff. If you're not super into movies, like, don't worry about it. And
I just don't want people seeing what I watch.
It's kind of like Spotify, where you can go on private and not have people see that you're listening to Papa Roach or whatever.
What did Papa Roach ever do to you?
They cut my life into pieces, Kat, okay?
This is his last resort, this podcast.
Oh, man, where was I going with that? Okay. Yeah, so the Bo Burnham thing I had as 4 out of 5 stars, just because, like, it's super impressive. I would suggest watching it. I just didn't, like, enjoy watching it. And to me, like, enjoyment of watching things is not necessarily, like, the experience of watching a film, because I've watched so many films that I haven't enjoyed, but I was like, this was great, but I hated it. And this was a less extreme version of that. It was like really impressive cinematically, because he's by himself in his own apartment,
doing
all this lighting shit, and like he's a very accomplished like filmmaker. I don't know if anybody here
directed
seen
a film
Eighth Grade, but Eighth Grade is incredible. Yeah, just like super cool film, but just wasn't as enjoyable as I wanted it to be. And like, I understand a lot of the draw of it was that like, it's the pandemic and this is like an extremely depressing time for everybody. But I feel like I would have enjoyed it more if I'd watched it like mid pandemic, not like after I've been vaccinated and I'm like out in the world doing things. It's easier.
I love
to
that
empathize
for you, by the way, that you've been out in the world. Like I've gone to one wedding, and I went to 2 bars with the wedding party. And other than that, like, I haven't gotten to go out yet. So I'm happy that other people are getting to. I'm delighted.
Yeah, I mean, I was extremely careful for the entirety of the pandemic. And now that I'm vaccinated, I'm living my life. I will not apologize.
As you shouldn't. I love that, by the way, that you're like, there are movies that are really good, but I hated watching them. That's such a different way of watching things from, I'm the opposite. There are some movies that I'm like, that was garbage, but man, that was fun. And I would rather watch that than the other way around.
Oh, I watch both. But I watched a film called Son of Saul. Not necessarily for the podcast. It was, I think we were doing a retrospective for like 2015 or something like that. And we watched like as many movies as we could. Or this might've been 2019, 2020, whatever. It doesn't really matter, but it's a movie about the Holocaust, and it takes place with there's the main character is a he's a prisoner at an internment camp, and like his son has just died, and his whole the whole plot of the film is like this guy trying to find a way to bury his son's ashes, and it's just like an excruciating watch, but it's an excellent film, and I like I would recommend nobody watch this film unless you're in like a really sad mood to watch something that will absolutely destroy your soul. I won't spoil it, but it's a really, really sad movie that gets sadder than what I just described. Without question, the most like devastatingly sad movie I've ever watched. But like, if you're in the mood for that, it's an excellent film. The filmmaking techniques are really cool. Like it's, basically the entire movie is shot from like 4 to 5 feet away from the main character, like focused on his face with like out of focus in the background. So it makes you feel really claustrophobic the whole time. And, you know, I've never wanted to feel immersed in internment camp life, but definitely puts you in a space mentally. I think there's a lot of value to movies that aren't enjoyable to watch. Less extreme version of that was I just watched the Before trilogy, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight. And it's like just super tight on a relationship that, you know, can be not super fun to watch at times, but it's a really incredible set of films. And this has been Bowlit.
I was gonna say that was a journey. We went from the dog to the internet.
Still snoring, by the way. Sorry, I don't really like Eliza Schlesinger, but
that's okay. I think I figured you.
It's just like, you know, not for me kind of stuff. Like I understand that people.
It's enjoy absolutely her. That is a comedian who is for me. It is for very, very basic women who hate their friends, but go out and get drunk with them anyway. So everything she says, I relate to because I think I've been in every situation she talks about.
And that's the exact opposite feeling I have when I watch her comedy. It's just like, I've never experienced any of this stuff, so I can't relate.
Why am I watching? So.
I think
we lost Drew like 15 minutes ago.
I was waiting for Drew to talk, and he's just like...
Every once in a while I'd look down at his corner of the screen to see if he was moving, and then I changed it
to, he said his background is a picture of him sitting there.
And he wasn't doing either.
I would not put that beyond Drew to do that.
He's hosting and we've completely hijacked.
Well, I had nothing for this anyways,
so. Sorry, I turned this into an episode of my other podcast.
We had nothing to go on here anyway.
We're gonna do a crossover episode of Brews and Bruins and Bowlit at some point. We're gonna do a hockey episode.
Isn't that just you though? Isn't that your own podcast?
Oh no, I have two co-hosts.
Okay. That makes
sense.
Shouts
to Zach and Nate, they're cool dudes. I don't know if I would never compare them to Cam and Drew. That would be cruel to do that.
To the other two. Definitely. Bruins and other less important things, I guess.
No, those two are two of my closest friends from high school, and like Cam and Drew are people that like I know off the internet and have become incredibly close to, like in a weird internet way. Drew and I met in person. Cam and I don't know each other.
I can't be positive that Chris actually exists.
Yeah, I mean Drew can confirm. Sure. You've met Drew
a few times.
So, the real question is whether
I think that was an imposter because Chris looks completely different than I
do.
I do look totally different than when
you met me. Yo, Drew, remember that time we were skiing and there was a dude who was like very Massachusetts who was just ripping darts on the chairlift with us in like mid pandemic?
Yep.
Yeah, I just probably realized there's like a solid chance that was Mike Riley. I'm pretty sure we ripped some black diamonds. He was from Ipswich. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure Mike Riley's probably from Ipswich. He just lied about it.
Yeah, Mike Riley said he was from Chicago, but
yeah,
he's not from Chicago.
Nah.
Mike Riley should be on the Olympic team.
Boys from Chicago and boys from Massachusetts are not all that different.
No, there's a vibe.
Perfectly honest.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a different accent.
That's why Mike Riley looks like he's an extra in a Ben Affleck movie.
Nice. Yeah. Which one?
The Town.
Okay.
Ah, yeah.
The one that takes place in that town.
Charleston, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one. So
I gotta go in like 10 minutes, by the way.
Well, let's use those 10 minutes wisely then. We got any hockey stuff to talk?
No, okay. So what is the thing that you think you are smartest about? Just like anything in life. Like you can tell. And I'm saying non-hockey related. Like hockey's out the window.
The thing, like, how are we measuring this? Like versus percentage of population.
Just like your confidence in talking about a subject and versus like teaching someone. Versus like this is where subject? Most. Yes.
Like, is it related to everything else that we know, or is it related to other people? Like,
just literally anything you know. Just, like I know a lot about like freaking. I don't know.
Now, what's your answer? Give us a really solid example here.
I don't have one yet.
This you asked the question. So you have to come up with
the answer. You asked a question.
Well, so my answer would probably be an analysis of the Song of Ice and Fire books versus the show Game of Thrones. being able to pick apart like what the differences are and like what the, you know, maybe the theories of where the books were going versus where the show took it, you know, normal people shit.
That's the last thing I was expecting.
Mine is the
I thought you were gonna talk about like,
yeah, I'm leaving that entire job. Pause in there. And like, same.
Because you know some fancy like airplane stuff. Like I don't know. Space astronaut.
I mean, I could talk about like very smart. And I thought the fasteners you need to like fix. You need like Hilux to like fix this airplane part.
See, I thought that's where you were gonna go.
Yeah.
And then you just veered like into another country.
No, see, because I'm a comedic genius, and I decided that I wasn't gonna go with the regular nerdy thing. I went with the nerdier nerdy thing.
That's good.
Something I kind of know is the geography of Europe and like the history of Europe between 1444 and like 1600.
And 1446.
Yes. 1443. Nah.
And 14, like, you know, and like maybe like 1600.
What is that era? Please.
It's like kind of the Renaissance, I suppose.
Where was William the Conqueror? What was the era of William the Conqueror?
That was then, I'm pretty sure.
In my head, that's around then. Yeah, probably.
No, I'm just very fascinated with that era. I actually don't know too much about it, but
completely changed the course.
There were a lot of good times there. There was a lot of good wars. It's just famine and disease.
A lot of good times.
War, notoriously good.
A lot of really good times there.
And most of the fun times in world history use the word famine.
Yeah. I don't know where to take that one.
Take it into your answer. Do you have an answer?
Like Mikey's would be Shrek. Answer. Like, you know, that's an
unfortunately,
just something
it was
weird
it
that you just happen
correct.
To know a lot about.
I really, should have answered.
Oh my god.
I could take Drew's answer and roll with like some World War One shit. I don't know. I don't have the niche there. I don't know.
Letterkenny.
I feel like that's a pretty common television show that a lot of people watch.
Yeah, man, but you know more of it. You're into the lore.
I could school some people on Scrubs for sure.
I'm glad this led to some great conversation.
We're heading back into TV, so we're going to podcast now. as people have unfortunately been finding out on Twitter more and more, I probably know more about podiatry, like physical therapy and like how to run properly than most of the population, because when I'm not doing hockey stuff, I work at a run specialty store, which it works with a bunch of local podiatrists in the area. So a lot of people think that, like, we actually, I'd say 90% of the people I work with every day are like 90 years old and have like very complex biomechanical problems at this point, which is kind of fun. The most fun part of it is that I have not put on a pair of button-up pants in I think it's been 2 years now.
Because
I get to wear yoga pants. I get to wear yoga pants to work every day because we get to wear like what we would wear running. And yeah, I now also
is that for
know
vibes or in case you have to run?
It's a both, unfortunately, because I do have days where I then have to roll it right into coaching. People have discovered that. And on Twitter, I'll get a DM from someone and they're like, hey, so I run. I've got like really bad plantar fasciitis. What shoe should I wear? And I'm like, I don't know. I've never seen your fucking foot. What are you talking about? I don't know what's wrong.
Imagine thinking that you can diagnose what they need. Oh yeah. You have really high arches. So grab these Nike shoes.
They're like, so should I? So first off, you should not grab the Nike shoes because Nikes suck. But no, they.
Well, I wish you had someone who was like been in my life when I was buying running shoes.
I'll bring you a pair. Don't worry.
Diagnose my bad feet right now and bring me a pair of shoes.
Put your feet on the camera, please. Don't do that. I did have someone send me a video of them walking barefoot in their house, so I could see like how they're biomechanically, like how their ankles move and how their arch flexes, and so I could kind of diagnose why they were getting so much calf pain, and got them in a decent pair of shoes via the internet. But most of the time I do it in person. I can now do it in Spanish too, which took a very long time. Bueno. I had to for the last year I've had a Spanish tutor at work. Which I love my bosses. Like, they're the best. They came to me one day and they said, hey, so we have a staff of like 15 and you're the only one who speaks Spanish. So we've hired you a tutor and she's going to come in once a week and she's going to teach you the same medical knowledge that you know in English, but in Spanish. So you can, people would come in and I could converse with them in Spanish and ask them like, how their day was, what they wanted. And as soon as they started talking about medical problems, I was like, like, I had no idea. Because like, who
learns
that?
Reasonable, yeah.
Like, yeah, you don't learn medical Spanish.
Yeah. I knew how to say, do you walk, run, or work? And I knew how to say, do you have pain in your feet? And that's like all I could say. So now I can, and I can't diagnose anything because I'm not a doctor, like, just to put that
you're a doctor in Spanish but not English,
but I can at the very least explain certain ailments like Achilles tendonitis and heel spurs and bunions and plantar fasciitis and like shin splints and stuff. I can talk about how you get them and how to fix it. I've had all of them. because as I'm sure the two people who listen to your show who know me know, I've been in a walking boot for the last.
I don't know if that's a shot at the show or a shot at you.
It's a shot at me. It's a big shot at me. no, I've been in a walking boot for the last like couple months here because I broke my foot last year while I was running. And instead of going to see a doctor, I taped my foot and bought a bigger shoe.
You are a doctor, so you just...
I am a doctor, yeah. And I cured myself by, like, buying a bigger shoe to fit my swollen foot in. And I kept running for a year and did fine until I started, like, ramping back up mileage-wise to train for a half. And when I hit miles, like, 8 and 9, my foot just started going numb. Like, my foot
would
just lose
all feeling. You know how when you're training for a half marathon and whenever your foot's broken, usually around mile 8 or 9, it tells you.
Cat was selfishly running on, you know, despite her injury. No, wasn't thinking about the best move for the team.
I've literally never run more than 6 miles continuously, so my foot would never tell me it was broken, I guess.
I think it probably would have told me earlier, but I scaled it way, way back, and I was running like 1 or 2 miles a day over the pandemic. But my doctor was like, why didn't you come see me? I went to see one of the podiatrists we work with. And he was like, really? It's been a year. And he looked at the x-ray and he looked at me and he's like, so when'd you break it? And I was like, oh no. And I told him and he's like, why didn't you come see me? And I was like, because I have a 4-year-old and I wasn't allowed to run while I also wasn't allowed to go out. What happened
that you
did
break it and that you knew that you broke it? No, I mean, you don't have to tell it on the podcast if you don't want to.
Phoenix does a pride run every year and it's a 5K and a half marathon.
So
and
is this the 1 year anniversary of you breaking your foot?
Yes. No, it was in March of last year because it wasn't at the run. So I was training for it pre-COVID and I was running in place at a stoplight. I had like a 10-mile run planned and I was about 4 miles out and I was like getting too excited at the stoplight. And
I always get really excited at stoplights, so that's fair.
The music was like hyping me up. And I rolled my foot on a manhole cover. And so like the dumbest way possible. People are like, oh, is it a stress fracture? And I was like, no. And they're like, oh, did you fall? You poor thing. I was like, I literally tripped on my own foot on like a little ridge in the sidewalk while I was running in place.
So and my roommate Lexi, my buddy Nick was out here visiting and we were just kind of like walking through San Diego. Like we had done like fun things all day. And like, we were just like walking to a restaurant, I guess. And without like tripping or falling on anything, like we were just walking on the sidewalk. My roommate Lexi rolled her ankle and my buddy Nick likes to make fun of her for saying she sprained her ankle on the curvature of the earth. So at least you had a manhole cover to for an excuse.
But I wasn't moving forward. Like, I was in place. But
there was, like, a change in elevation at some
point. Have you seen a manhole cover? It's like this. It's a part of the ground.
Then it could have been anywhere.
Yeah.
It really could have been. It really could have been anywhere. And I, like, had to run the rest of the way back home because the lovely Richie was home with Iz. And
can we refer to Richie when he comes on this podcast as the lovely Richie?
he hangs out with my 4-year-old and like he's a saint for that because she's a monster. But yeah, the whole run home, it felt like I'd been shot in the foot and I was like, I think I broke it. And so I took 2 weeks off because it was like I have kind of a high arch. I've got one of those feet and it was like this tall. Like I couldn't put a shoe on for like 3 days.
That's
and
not a good sign.
No. So I waited until the swelling went down enough that I could fit it into a men's extra wide shoe.
Well, if you were a real hockey player, you would have just kept the skate on.
I couldn't fit my foot in the skate. There's no way it would have fit. No way. And yeah, so I just like way scaled it back. Because I think being isolated, it was right before the pandemic hit. And so when we were like fully shut into our homes, it was like me and my 4-year-old and she's very mean to me. So if I had if I'd had to like hang out with her without getting to go out each night and like run and cry in the dark, I think I probably would have died. So I kept running and basically gave myself a posterior tibial tendon syndrome, which for any listeners who have hurt their feet before, it's the tendon that runs along the inside of your leg and then under your arch. So I stretched it pretty badly and it's now, it's pretty swollen. You can see it on the outside of my foot still. So I was in a walking boot and my doctor then discovered that I'd been running in the walking boot. So I'm now not allowed to do anything. So
as far as your doctor knows, yeah.
That's the thing.
Well, I went in for my. So she can't get away with
it. I went in for my own doctor. I know. Yeah. No, I went in for my follow up visit to see how my foot was progressing, and he took the boot and like just immediately flipped it over, and I was like, "What is he doing?" And he looks at the bottom, and then he looked at me, and he went, "So, how many times have you run in this thing?" And I was like, "How does he know?" And he's
Sherlock
like
Sherlock Holmes over here.
He literally, like, as soon as I walked in, he flips that boot over. And he's like, so how many times have you run in this thing? I was like, three?
A lot.
Three? I was like, it was only a quarter mile each time because I was just demoing things for people. It was a jog. It wasn't a jog. It was a run.
Well, Kat, I need your help because as I mentioned earlier, I have awful back issues at this point, which is great for somebody who's 23 years old. I really love that for my future.
Like, sincere question. What do you wear as your shoe?
I switched to wearing a running shoe all the time because it's the only thing that I can wear for my feet.
Yeah, it's more supportive. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was wearing a bad shoe for a while, but.
How old are the Ultra Boosts? Because those things go out in like 2 months.
They go probably out about a year, but I didn't wear them that much. Less than a year, actually. No, probably about 6 months, but I used to only wear them when I ran until like a couple weeks ago, and now I wear them all the time. Because I was at the chiropractor, and he was like, hey, you got to go down to Fleet Feet, which is like one of the same thing. Like, they watch you walk the whole nine yards. And I went down, and they like measured my feet, and they were like, all right, you have the biggest arches, the widest feet. Like, yeah, I'm just super fucked. Like, I was off the charts on arch height, width, and so for some reason.
You have a hockey player's foot with that super high ass arch.
So bad. So bad. I couldn't wear Nikes. Like, I literally couldn't if I wanted to because I wouldn't fit in them when I was growing up.
In fairness, nobody can wear Nikes.
Yeah. So I was trying to, like, yeah, continue.
He's so muted.
Does he know? I think he knows.
I don't think he knows.
I don't know. Anyway, so they gave me like the measurements and shit, and she picked out a shoe that was just like three sizes too small, and I like put it on, and I was just like, yeah, like the width feels kind of okay, but like my foot is like on the, and she was like, what do you normally wear? And I was like, I usually wear 10.5. I think I'm probably a little smaller than that, but like I need the extra for the width. She's like, yeah, let's try 7.5. And I was like, what the fuck? So I put on a 7.5 and I'm like, yeah, I mean, she's like, how does it feel? I'm like, it feels small. And she's like, yeah, I mean, we might have to like custom order you like a wider one. And I'm like, no, I think the width is okay. Like, but like my toes are like at the edge of the shoe. And what? For some reason, I don't know. So I ended up just leaving. And I was like,
wait, did you just say she put you in a 7.5?
Yeah, and I wear a 10.5 regularly.
That's bonkers.
Yeah, it was really weird.
What size do you wear, Chris?
honestly, anywhere from 8.5 to 10.5 because my feet are so fucking weird.
We're getting a weird following after this one.
Very, very high arches, very wide, big toes. So like, but like very short, stubby toes. So.
Oh, like, you've got the cute little finger toes, like the little toes. I've got finger toes, so they curl. My toes are all hammered like that. So I also
skied for many years, so some of my toes are like fucking shoved into a corner. Like my pinky toes are permanently deformed from skiing for years.
Welcome to hockey skates.
Yeah, I think that's probably
both.
Cam, yours are probably turned sideways too.
Oh yeah, big time. No, my feet go, they just continue to get wider until the toes, and then it's just like flat. Like,
my big toes point like this. They're like,
yeah,
like they point away from each other. So it's, yeah, I might have a shoe for you, Chris. The one perk of being my friend is that I get free shoes at work.
The one perk.
There's nothing fun about hanging out with me, but I do get free shoes. And so I currently have like, I think I have 10 pairs of Hokas just like sitting, and I can't wear all of them. So I give them to my friends sometimes.
I would say for a running shoe, I'm probably a 9.
Oh, then you're a little smaller than I am.
Great.
Yeah, I don't even know what my actual foot size is because it's so fucking wide. It just runs
I measure a men's, I think it's a men's 8 now, a men's 8.5 wide. So my running shoe size is a men's 9.5 standard to wide, depending on the brand. So it's we always have like, I love it. We get 90-year-olds that come into my store and they're like these cute little old ladies and they're all wearing the wrong shoe size because they're like, well, I've been a 7 my whole life. And I'm like, no, you're not. Like your feet change. Like, oh, like everything else, like your body changes. And I'm like,
I've worn these prescriptions for my whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
Please, like, please give me your driver's license. I'm calling the police.
Like, you can't drive. But no, like I'll measure and I'm like, so you should be wearing like a 9. And they're like, that's huge. Or the ones that, it's always the ones who wear like a size 6 and should be in like a 7.5. And so they have bunions and they have hammer toes and they have plantar fasciitis and like everything hurts. And I'm like, so you need to be wearing a bigger shoe. Like you're wearing the wrong size. And they're like, a 7.5. That's huge. I'm like, so I wear a women's 10.5 extra wide. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like,
what are you talking about?
I'm like, what do you mean?
You're like, sorry. I'm sorry for you that you think that way.
I'm like, you know what? I have great balance because my feet are boats.
I always say I should have been a swimmer. I'm the Michael. I got the flippers fucking built in. Like, it was the move.
Yeah, sorry, Cam. You're not 6'4".
I don't have like, I don't have the body for it, but I got
disproportionately long torso.
That wingspan.
Yeah, I've tried to butterfly and it doesn't look good.
That's the only stroke I can do. I'm not very.
I like kind of can. I can go butterfly. Forward. It's just definitely not what you'd call majestic. So.
That's my fun fact is that I swam for 10 years. So that was my summer cross training, and I was just good enough to make invitationals in the last heat. Like no other, always the people who are good enough to be at like a competitive event, like. Like the last place person at the Olympics, and you're like, oh, they must suck. Even though they're like 10 like times faster than us. I was always like in the bottom 5 at the like qualifier invitational meet.
So you would like just That's lose good. To Michael Phelps, is what you're saying.
I would very much lose to I would just lose
like, the deck,
if he was,
like,
if he was swimming 4 laps and I was swimming 1, like I'd probably just lose. So
That's fair.
Yeah. That'd be pretty impressive still, I think, honestly.
Yeah, but the Olympics are weird, though, because you can be, like, the best person from a country that's terrible at the sport and still qualify for some sports.
I love that, by the way.
Which I'm totally about.
Yeah,
like, I would move to another country and absolutely try and qualify.
Just go to the Olympics, yeah.
I think there... I forget what the country was, but there's a very famous example from, like, women's snowboard halfpipe where, like... They changed the rules because of her. I think it was Georgia.
It was something like that. Yeah. Cause it was, wasn't she, she was from another country or something, right? Yeah. Or it was the one, no, she couldn't do the base. Like they changed.
I mean the country Georgia.
No. I mean, it was in either skiing or snowboarding and she couldn't do like the basic tricks.
Yeah,
she was so far below everyone else that like they changed.
All she did
so.
Was she went through the World Cup circuit and she went up and down the half pipe without doing any tricks and didn't fall.
That
so
was
she qualified ahead.
Winter Olympics ago, right?
She qualified ahead of all of the people who fell, at, like doing tricks. so she got like a lot of extra points.
I mean, that
was
2 Olympics ago, I feel like. Because I remember seeing it and people were furious. And I was over here like, why are you guys so mad? Like, that was amazing. Yeah.
That was brilliant.
But good for her. She was playing,
mental Olympics.
She was playing chess and everyone else was playing checkers.
And also she was like really cool about it. She had a bunch of things to say that were really nice and like made a bunch of friends out there. Had a fun time. I'm about that.
She tried hard. She loved the sport.
She loved the game.
I don't know if she did try. I think intentionally she tried not
that
hard.
That's how I try to do it, though. Like, sincerely, that's working smarter, not harder. That is the epitome of smarter, not
harder. The epitome of the Olympics is working smarter, not harder.
That's the Tampa Bay Lightning being 18 mil over the cap right there. It's brilliant.
Oh, man. I really
that makes
want...
me so angry.
It doesn't make me that angry. I really want Tampa Bay. I want them to be bad and there to be like a really good prospect coming up so we can just call them the Tampa Bay Lightning for a year.
The Tampa Bay.
It's the only thing I want to happen.
The Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't even want to talk about prospects because I don't know if you guys knew this, but the Arizona Coyotes, they have like one pick this year, maybe. Possibly.
Yeah, they did the bad thing.
They did the bad thing, which wasn't even so my spicy take, which I don't think is that that hot of a take, honestly. Every team cheats.
Yeah.
Including Patrice Bergeron.
It is.
Here we go.
It's every time people are like, look at the Coyotes. I can't believe they cheated. I'm like, your team cheats too. Don't lie. Don't act like they don't. Cheats,
obviously.
Every single team cheats. And the fact that they act shocked about it is, I think it's silly.
Not to backtrack, especially. But did Drew say bye to me when he left?
You were kind of out of frame, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, you were gone with the puppy.
Yeah, yeah. But like, he didn't say bye to me.
He didn't really individually say bye to any of us. He just said, kind of just ciao, like, oh, guys. Ciao.
I think Drew is the...
He's the only one without an iPhone, so that's automatically very suspect.
I think that's very Drew, though, because he's very anti-system. I think the iPhone is the most like monopolistic entity in the phone market.
It's because it's
good, probably though. In the tech market, honestly.
It's, I mean, because Google, it's good though.
Google literally just had to go to court for like,
yeah, being too
antitrust
good
things. So
yeah,
it's like how there were DVDs and then there were like multiple other things, and DVDs are the only one we went with because it was the only
laser
one that was
discs,
good.
Which were,
yeah, it's the only one that was good, and like that's, to me, that's iPhones, because I don't remember
laser discs at all, but they sound hilarious because they were like the size of vinyl records and you had to fucking play a movie
Moana time.
This is the least hockey podcast I think we've ever done.
This should not be brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network.
Brought to you by the Pajama Tampa Dietary Network.
And that we hated them. I don't think
that's
we've
been about it.
Brought up, I don't think we've brought up anything else. Did you guys have any goalie questions?
Yes, like anyone goalie questions.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, so I've gotten really stuff. Like conscious of the fact that like we've had you on the podcast a bunch of times, and then every time we've limited you to just like, we're only going to talk about goalies. While we're
box you in.
Because when people let me talk about other things, It's never
it gets to this great. When this it's is what happens.
Never super there's a reason that I have ADHD.
Wait, I'm gonna pull up the UFA list of goalies and then see what we can do from there. I'm not gonna do. Here we go.
And I know I said that my daughter's bed like seized up my back, but I think I'm headed back there because this light is kind of making me feel like I'm being interrogated.
I mean, are you sure it's not the podcast?
Back into a four-year-old's bedroom. Woo! All right. We're back. It's a okay. Cool bedroom, though. Like, it's a very cool bedroom.
I have all of the UFA goaltenders in order of this previous year's cap hit. So Tuukka at $7 million is number one. Pekka Rinne, I believe, is on the edge of retirement, and I don't know if I would want to sign him to anything anyway. Frederik Andersen's an interesting one, coming off a $5 million contract, and it feels like he's probably not going to re-sign in Toronto. I feel like that's maybe a guy to talk about.
Which is bonkers for me, yeah.
So yeah, like, go ahead on Freddie Andersen. Like, I don't know what to think about him because he's had a few really solid years behind not very good defenses.
He had a bunch of really good years that kind of tapered off once you hit like right around the trade deadline, right?
Yeah.
He would start off the season kind of slow. Once he got into a groove, like he did really well, and then he'd start to kind of tank, which is kind of what we see for most goalies who are overworked. Weird how that works. And I don't know. I feel like the way that Toronto treats their goaltenders, I would not sign there. If I was a goalie, not a chance. You could offer me like top dollar. And unless I
would take it.
Unless I that's the thing, is unless I wanted to retire on that top dollar.
I mean, I'm
I would not take it.
A government employee, I would definitely take Toronto's money to play goalie.
I'm an hourly wage employee, so I'd maybe take it. But if I like wanted to build a career for myself as an NHL goaltender, like not a fucking chance. Cause that's just a team that, are we allowed to curse? I'm sorry.
Are we allowed really to curse?
Yeah.
Shit balls.
Good, good, good. Okay.
Not to quote too much from old school, but.
No, I think Freddie Anderson's I think he's a legitimately good goaltender. And when he plays well, I think he's great. And I don't know what Toronto did to him. I don't love their goalie coach, which I think is not a thing that everyone would agree with. But he was a little, in my opinion, a little underqualified when he got the gig and couldn't really figure out why they brought him in at the NHL level. Don't love what he's done with Freddie Anderson. Obviously, I think Jack Campbell's been doing incredibly, but that had so much to do with Dusty Amu that I don't really know how much of it we can credit to Toronto. Don't really love what he did when Michael Hutchinson was there. And I think he's still there right now. Don't love what he did with any of their backups.
Garrett Sparks.
God bless Garrett Sparks. I hope he's not listening.
Forgot about him. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if a team is willing to, if they have a good goaltending coach, because very clearly I think Freddie Anderson needs a chance to get back into the fundamentals. So a team like Arizona, that's an intriguing one for me. I think the Bruins, it could work, but I don't know if he's looking to be a backup somewhere, if he's looking to revitalize his career and stay somewhere.
Like, assume in this case that Tuca doesn't re-sign.
If Boston only wants a guy for 1 year, I don't know if I'm Freddie if I take that. If there are other teams that might have me, which obviously Arizona has an opening because they're not bringing Ronta back. I think LA is another team that has a good goalie coach. I think Chicago needs to figure their shit out because they did not have good goaltending this year. So I don't think that...
Colin Delia,
don't you say a bad word about him. Mike, he'll come after you. He went to Merrimack. Really good guy, too. But no, Malcolm Subban's there, too. Not an NHL starter by anyone's definition. Kevin Lincinen, not a
first-round pick, starter. Though.
Yes. Remember that 500 save percentage NHL debut?
I do. Oh, yeah. can't forget it as much as you'd like to.
Can't forget that one.
In fairness, guy got hit in the trachea with a puck.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was not the best circumstance.
Who knows how that fucks you up.
But no, if I'm Boston, I would offer a year to him and see if he wants it. If I'm Freddie Anderson, though, I don't know if that's at the top of my list, if that makes sense. Just because I think he's at the point in his career where he still has 3-4, maybe 5 years left, right? He's only 30, 31, something like that, depending on how well he plays. But I don't know. I think he'd be a good fit in Boston. I just don't know if that's what he's looking for. Because, like, he's not Yaro Halak, where he's in the twilight of his career looking to just play another year or two as a backup. He's a guy who's looking to maybe re-jumpstart his starter role.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like, I feel like if he were in the situation he was in, but he was 2 or 3 years older, it would be maybe a perfect fit.
Yeah, that'd be
fit,
different.
But
that'd
like,
be a huge difference.
He does have a chance to kind of cash in here still, and I don't think Boston's going to be willing to do that.
No, and I don't think they'd need to either.
No.
This is interesting because, like, that is the first name that came up. That was like, oh, this is a guy that could be interesting. And then there's just like a list of guys.
Guys.
I was going to run through the list and say like what, because I mean, we could go name by name and that would be pretty boring. But these guys are all kind of like, I wouldn't
boring
say they're all
on
the same tier, but a lot of them are very similar, like guys who are either, you know, career backups who have kind of, in the past couple of years ascended to a more like 1A role, or guys who are in the twilight of their career kind of figuring it out now. And those guys are Devin Dubnyk, Antti Raanta, James Reimer, Philip Grubauer. I think that one kind of sticks out. But Peter Mrazek, yeah. Jonathan Bernier, Carter Hutton, David Riddick, Linus Ullmark, Anders Nilsson, and then we get to Yarro Halak. And I think that kind of cuts it off because Corey Schneider and Henrik Lundqvist are the ones next on that list. Yeah. The ones below that, Henrik Lundqvist, Laurent Brossois.
That's an interesting one, actually.
Mike Smith, Brian Elliott, Curtis McElhinney, Ryan Miller, who I believe is retiring.
He's formally retired, yes.
Vasily Demchenko?
Ooh, they haven't re-signed him. Not a guy I'd pick up, no.
Chris Drieger.
I don't think he's going to be available.
Okay. He's a UFA, but who do you think?
I think, so Chris Drieger's been with Florida, and he's, so every year, James Reimer's an angel, by the way.
Is that how you pronounce that? Because I've heard everyone on TV pronounce it Drieger, and it's spelled Drieger for sure.
I'm notorious for pronouncing names wrong, so I'm not gonna say anything.
All right, we'll go with Drieger because I've heard many people say it that way. Many people are saying.
All the best people are saying. Every year I ask James Reimer, who his like sleeper pick is, who's the goalie that we're not paying enough attention to, because he's wonderful and he'll like give me a legit answer. And it was. Obviously, I didn't get to ask him this year or last year because we didn't get a chance due to COVID. But his answer 2 years ago was Chris Drieger. Herber Schling.
His name's Chris.
That's a Schitt's Creek reference. but no, that's who he went with because he was a prospect there when Reimer was with Florida. He said, that's a guy who is an NHL talent and we just haven't paid enough attention to him. And I was like, interesting. You're right. We have not paid enough attention to him because I haven't paid attention to him at all. And sure enough, he ended up being like legitimately good at the NHL level. And that's a guy that I'd look at, but I think that Florida is not super confident. Number one, that, like, I don't think they want to go with just Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight without having anyone else to potentially fill it should Knight struggle or Bobrovsky hurt.
Well, I don't know if I'm them, I look to. But guys like Spencer Knight and Jeremy Swayman
don't get hurt, right?
Are 100% going to be okay for the next year and are going to be great. So.
I mean, if I'm Florida, I'm obviously playing Spencer Knight at the NHL level, but I would want a third guy there just because it's smart. And so I don't think he's going to be on the market unless he really wants out of Florida. Like if he wants a chance to legitimately compete for a starting role somewhere.
How does that work salary wise though? Because I think Florida.
Spencer Knight's on an ELC. So.
Yeah, but isn't Drieger going to have to like sign for like a decent amount of money? And I don't know.
I don't know how decent he'd sign for because it's a flat cap. So I think a lot of guys are willing to. I wouldn't sign him for that much. Okay. I'd sign him for one or two. Just because we've only seen like one year.
One team that's just like willing to be like, hey, this
that's guy. Edmonton. They keep giving it to
Mike Smith. They're gonna do it.
Smith though. They're gonna sign Mike Smith again. So
no, that's but what they Mike did Smith's 39 year. Years old. So
that, yeah, he was 39 this year too, and they signed him anyway. they called him their guy.
I feel like Mike Smith's 39, like every 45-year-old person is. Like they're just like, oh yeah, I'm on my fifth 39th birthday.
He's fucking terrifying. I'm sure he's walked into a room at some point and like given is it Ken Holland who's there? It's Ken Holland, right?
Yeah.
Like given him those eyes and been like, sign me. And he was like, okay. sure. Like as long as he wants to be there, I think
all he has to do is have a GM look at his point totals and you know, they'll just be like, oh, yeah, yeah, this guy, like,
he can score
tons,
goals.
Tons of assists, tons of goals, like, for, in terms of, like, percentages, like, oh, yeah, 100 percentile, like, for goalies and goals.
He had a hot year this year, so I think Ken Holland might try to ride on that, which is crazy, because
he wasn't
even an NHL goalie the year prior.
No.
And they brought him back for another year, but
And neither was Koskinen, which is hilarious. No, they brought them both back.
But that's, we're so far off topic with those two. Like, that's another episode. But no, I think that's an interesting list, because I think Laurent Brossoit is another guy who's a good goalie who got, like, emotionally broken by Edmonton. Went to Winnipeg, worked with Adam Francilia. He's a goaltending dryland coach, so he does a lot with biomechanics and proper training, and really helped him get back to league average numbers. League average into, like, above average numbers. So I thought he looked really good with Connor Hellebuyck. They were a really good 1A, 1B. Until Winnipeg decided that it was a starter.
Do you have numbers on, like, starts there? Because I, like, my perception,
he ended up being
a
backup. He ended up being a backup this year. The year prior, they were 1A, 1B tandem. So,
oh, and yeah, I wasn't, like, challenging that. It's just like,
no, it was
like Hellebuyck, obviously, like, one of the best goaltenders in the world. Like, I have no idea how much
Paul Maurice is very into workload management
and coaching. Yeah.
He's into workload management because Adam Francilia worked with the team a little bit. And he basically told him, like, you need to rest your goalie or he's not going to make it in the playoffs, which he didn't this year anyway, but that's okay. But no, I think he worked well in Winnipeg. He's a legitimate NHL talent. I think Bob Essence is a really good goalie coach, so I think he'd be a good fit in Boston. And that's a sleeper pick, because I think you could get him for kind of cheap. I think, like I said,
Boston would absolutely hate him because he has a French name.
Yeah, I mean, he's French Canadian, and his mom was a ballet dancer. So he's like the antithesis of everything that, like, Boston Bruins fans like. Really, really nice.
Patrice Bergeron gonna have to do a lot of work. Jeremy Lauzon and Patrice Bergeron gonna be the ambassadors to Laurent Brossoit.
Laurent Brossoit is one of the nice. So the Winnipeg PR team is super nice, super accommodating. I was writing a story on him a couple of years back, and I called them and I said, hey, do you know any way that I can do an interview, like, when you guys come through town? And they said, well, here's his cell phone number, just give him a call. And I was like, okay. And he was kind of, especially after Edmonton, where they're monsters. He was really skittish at the start. And then as the interview went on, he warmed up and really got to talking about, like, the biomechanics and how his game had evolved, and just a really, really good chat, right? Like, really a student of the game. And then, so I wrote this story and I asked him, I was like, is there anything that you, like, thinking about it? Do you want me to send it to you? Do you want me to send you a Google Doc, because it's going to be on The Athletic, so it's going to be behind a paywall? And he was like, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, I don't read media, because, like, and after Edmonton, like, I don't blame him, I wouldn't either. And he was like, there's been a lot of shit said, like, it's not worth it. And so I wrote the story, I published it, and I get a text like 3 hours later from him, and he says, hey, so not to nitpick your nitpick, because in the article I was like, so this is a nitpick critique, but, and then I critiques, and he was like, so not to nitpick your nitpick, but, and he explained that particular sequence of events that I had broken down with video, and he's like, and so this is why I played it like this, and this is how your proposal, like, I would have had trouble with that. And I was like, so first off, you're a liar, because you told me you don't read anything and you read it within an hour of it going up on the site, so good for you. But yeah, he was really good with feedback too. So I'm always happy when he succeeds. But very clearly, like, a student of the game. So I think he'd be fun. Auntie Ranta, I did hear the dog that time. That was so
loud. Remarkable, honestly.
That was so loud.
Yeah.
I've never heard an animal make that noise. Oh my God.
He stopped.
He gave us one snore, and that was a really loud snore though.
He's always back.
Does he sleep in your room? Because I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Oh no. He sleeps with Lexi.
I wouldn't be able to sleep. That's amazing. Yeah, I think it was on the last episode, 10 minutes ago, that I said I wouldn't take on DeRonta, just because I think he's not healthy. James Reimer is another. That's an intriguing name. That's another guy who I think gets hurt a lot. So
do you want me to run through the names again, just to like make sure you?
I have them all in my brain.
Okay.
I remember them all. Those are my people. I trust you. I remember very little, including like what I need to buy at the grocery store, but I do remember the goalies. Yeah, I think James Reimer.
Be damned if you forget Linus Ullmark.
That's not a guy I'd pick up. I think he's Edmonton goalies and Buffalo goalies are projects. Like you need
Carter Hutton also on that list.
Yeah, another like I wouldn't do that. Although they feasibly are either going to have to bring both of them back, or they're going to have to sign two other guys off that list, and that's going to be interesting because I think they'll have money to throw at someone. But also, we've now seen so many guys go through that team, and just have their stats tank. And I was talking with Mike McKenna with the Golden Knights a while back, and he was just talking about like how certain team cultures are not conducive to being a good goalie. And if you are trying to revive a part of your career, like there are certain teams that unless you don't have another option, like you don't touch those teams. And for the record, he did not say Buffalo specifically. He said another team that I'm not like that's him to choose that. But no, I think Buffalo is a team that teams will be competing with them for the free agent market. And it's going to be fun to kind of see if they throw more money at goalies to get someone good, because they're not a desirable destination.
I do think that's good for hockey in general to have
a shitty market.
bad markets with lots of money where, you know, that can drive up the price maybe of mm-hmm. some free agents. And, you know, as a Bruins fan, obviously you don't want that, but I think
that's
guys
fair.
getting paid what they deserve to be paid is for the best.
Especially and, for goalies.
You know, having options where you can be like, hey, well, I mean, here's the deal. Like, I would love to play for you for this amount of money, but you're not willing to pay me about this amount of money. This team is willing to pay me this amount of money. I know that I would not want to play there, but right. I absolutely will play there for this amount of money if you're not willing to come up. And you know, the CBA is set up for certain things, but it definitely doesn't protect against stuff like that. And
right.
I think, yeah, I mean,
it's going to make the goalie market really fun this year that team has a spot, and then that Edmonton's going to have a spot.
They have two spots. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't take, those are two teams that unless you can get them for cheap, I wouldn't take a goalie from those teams. Although seeing Mike Smith versus Boston fans I would pay like UFC fight pay-per-view money to watch Mike Smith versus Boston fans. I would
love
that so much. That's a guy who everyone I've ever spoken to, like he was a hard interview because I couldn't get a read on like how to get him to talk, even off the record about like his game. And everyone
off
I've
the talked, record about his game.
Like
that's the like easiest thing to get somebody to talk about.
Especially goalies. And like usually I'll tell goalies, I'm like, hey, I'm with Ingle Mag. Can I talk to you? Anything you want off the record? Like we value our relationship with the goaltenders. Anything they say is off the record, like we're not gonna break that. And they know that. And still Mike Smith didn't give me anything. He told me that he would
respect.
Like I asked him about the color of his pads and he was like, maybe I'll wear one light and one dark. Just see how crazy that gets. And I was like, what does that mean? I was like, what does that mean? So
see how crazy I can be. I'm the craziest goalie.
It gets the people going.
That's the funniest thing though, because Hockey's so fucking boring. The craziest thing a guy can think of is like, maybe I'll wear one pad different color than the other.
It was, I was like, wow, thank you. I think that's all I need today. Like, Auntie Ranta, great for talking about his game, great for talking about gear. Darcy Kemper, boring for talking about both, but
wait, what was he saying about me?
He said that you're kind of fun, but that he wishes you didn't wear Nikes. No, I wouldn't take a goalie from Buffalo or Edmonton if I was Boston. Although I think Baba senses. I mean, I think he's a very good goalie coach. I would rather he was focused on Jeremy Swayman and Dan Vladar than focused on a project as their number 2/3, like whatever it ends up being. I wouldn't want that to be a project guy. I would maybe say Laurent Brossoit would be my intriguing pick there. Maybe I think James Reimer could be fun, but here's my thing. If you can get James Reimer, why not bring back Jaro Halak? Very similar performances, very similar career trajectories, although one of them did not get chased out of Toronto with death threats.
And not to mention the reason why he got chased out of Toronto with death threats was
because of Boston.
The Boston Bruins.
They're both not injury prone like Ranta, but they're both at a point in their careers where you have to worry about biomechanical breakdown.
Recall how good the Luongo Reimer tandem was for like a very short period of time.
Yeah, when they were both healthy, which was like 2 weeks. 2 weeks. They were both healthy for like a 2-week stretch, and it was amazing. And then one or both of them was hurt for so long.
Well, yeah, Roberto Luongo was, I think, 38
to 40
or something like that.
Yeah. Devin Dubnyk's another name that was on that list who I maybe wouldn't touch. And that's another guy who...
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about him too much.
Like, that's... I feel like sometimes people kind of... And I've been accused of it on Twitter.
But he's tall.
They say... Well, they say that if I say that someone's really nice to me, that I'll support them. And I'm like, you should get this guy. Like, he'll succeed. He was really nice to me. Devin Dubnyk's a sweetheart. Like, he's a really easy conversation. He's a really easy interview. I wish him nothing but the best. But we talk about how Ranta's body has broken down. I wouldn't trust Devin Dubnyk biomechanically and physically and health-wise. And that's just... He's tall, but, like, if he's 5 feet away from the puck, like...
This isn't totally off-topic. You know, my brain went Minnesota to Cam Talbot, and I do want to know like what you saw from Cam Talbot
that he got taken away from Edmonton
this year, like was different.
He was good last year too, though. He was okay the first half of the year. He got better as the year went on with Calgary, but he's a very good goaltender. He's a very good structured goaltender, though. He's not a guy who flops around a ton. And Edmonton, you can play behind a bad defense, but he was playing behind a bad defense that like didn't communicate super well. And it just kind of, I think it threw him off. I think it threw his game off. He didn't have the correct support. He didn't have a good backup behind him. He was overworked, had a weird fan base that thought he would solve their defensive problems when they had Chris Russell. Like, I don't know.
Well, no, Mike Smith came in and did that.
I can't even answer that. No, I think he finally got a chance to just reestablish like a baseline, right? Because most goaltenders need to have a good baseline and then can make their desperation saves, their creative saves, and but they shouldn't have to make them for every save a night. which is what you do in Edmonton.
The defensive structure in Minnesota, like, is that like
it's decent?
You think he's good for next year, and like that would be,
oh yeah,
that'd be solid. I want Minnesota to be good so bad.
I
feel like they've been so bad.
They're so boring. What do you mean for so long? They missed the playoffs for like a year.
I mean, I guess they haven't been so bad for so long. They've been so boring for so long. And
yeah,
this past year they were finally like a little. They weren't exciting.
The only time they're exciting is when they played Darcy Kemper, who like completely just like has a stroke when he plays them, and he's like, "Oh, this is the team that I didn't want to start for," and just like allows 8 goals a game and fights people. And
Darcy Kemper's been my fantasy goalie for too many years.
We can't be friends anymore.
He's always good when he plays. When he doesn't play, he's on my IR. I can replace him.
When he doesn't play. So, fun fact, I think I had Antti Raanta and Darcy Kemper a few years ago because I had 8 goalies on my fantasy team.
That's way too many goalies. How many goalie categories does your league have? Is it points or you have categories?
It was so what I did is my entire bench was goalies. My 2 utility players were goalies. And I had 2 goalies.
How'd you
but
do
what I league? What I did is I stole all the goalies that people needed when their guys went on IR. So
was that for like
just to spite them, because like I didn't want to play.
That's fair, I guess. Yeah, if you don't want to play fantasy, you want to like
there's a tweet there's
ruin
a tweet
everybody's
somewhere.
Fantasy season.
That's what I did. I ended up beating a couple people that see I didn't touch my roster once, but like I ended up beating a couple people because their goalies would be on IR and there was literally like no one left for them to pick. I think there's a tweet somewhere where someone said, "Did you pick anyone but goalies?" I was like, "Yeah, I had 8 goalies and Phil Kessel." That was like my entire fantasy team.
I think I remember you telling this story before.
Say,
yeah,
it was
maybe on this podcast.
Yeah,
I think I did it like 2 weeks before I came on your podcast for the first time. Maybe.
But that wasn't the last episode, was it?
No. I didn't do fantasy this year. It might have been the year prior, because it was Phil Kessel. He was on the Coyotes, so it was the 2019-20 season. So whenever that was, I did that and made people really angry. Like everyone in my league kept trying to get me to trade, and I was like, I don't even remember my fantasy password. Like I drafted all the goalies, took them from
the
guys,
single-handedly ruined the league.
Goalie person over here.
Guess
who writes for In Goal Magazine?
Yeah. Worked out.
It was good. It was a lot of fun. I took a lot of really good sleeper backups who, when other people's goalies were like shitting the bed and their backup was taking over, so their goalie wasn't playing.
So
their
your team,
guy
your
was
team
on
would have
IR.
Been really good in like a 24 team league.
I didn't finish last. I think I finished like third to last, and I didn't touch my roster once, just because anyone whose goalies got hurt or lost their starting role, like they were SOL. So I beat those people, and it was kind of satisfying, even though I didn't do anything. That face that Chris just made at the dogs is, I think, the face that I made at Izzy the last time I came on the podcast.
I mean, she's one of our best podcast guests, so you never have to quiet her on here.
She did recently, for any podcast listeners who have watched her evolve into the emotional terrorist that she is.
Like, actual human being now.
Yeah, she's a human being, but like not a very nice one. She was acting up, like she was being mean. No, hey, wow. So she was being kind of mean to me, and I threatened to take away the treats in her lunch because I'm an amazing mom and I pack her lunch every day with a really cute napkin and some sort of sweet treat, like a candy bar or
I need you to go back to cute napkin. What does that mean?
Like the party napkins. I buy ones that have like rainbows on them or unicorns or sparkles.
Are they still like effective as like, napkins? You don't, or like, are they like
origami and
like, no, yeah, no. Do I look like I can do origami, please? Oh, please.
That would be like a goalie thing.
Not my thing. But no, she was like,
weird goalie thing.
Thank you.
And I tried taking things away from her. Like, I was like, you know what? You can go to bed right now. And she was like, well, I'm tired anyway. And so I was like, you know what? I can take treats out of your lunch. Like, I don't feel guilt at this. You want to lose treats in your lunchbox? Because you can get your sandwich and your fruit and your crackers, and that's it. And she looked me dead in the eye, like made full on eye contact, and went, I can survive without treats. You know that, right? And I was like, God damn it. Like, that's when I lost the war. Like, how,
but yeah,
I won that battle, but somehow lost the war. So
I feel like if we had a zombie apocalypse, she would die after you.
Oh, 100%. Like, anytime she does something wrong and gets in trouble, like, she was rude one night and she came to me and she lay in my bed and she snuggled up to me. And I was like, oh, she's being nice. And I was like, are you sorry? And she went, Mom, know how there are some days where, like, you're just not very nice because you're tired? Everybody has those days. Today was my day. I didn't feel very nice. And I was like, okay, cool. All right. I was like, that's fair, but does that mean you can be rude? And she says, it just happened. Like, I didn't feel very like, nice.
Respect.
So I
was honestly, that's just like,
self-awareness is not a thing that, you know, adults
you can't teach that.
No, most adults don't have that. And I don't have that before I have my coffee. So when she, like, throws the logic at me, if I'm too tired, like, she wins. So she gets to do whatever the fuck she wants. She runs our house 100%.
How's the dog doing, Chris?
You gonna unmute yourself before you talk this time? Nope. Not this time. Not this time. I feel I feel like the other baby boomer on this podcast. Like, the ones who forget to unmute, can't figure out their Wi-Fi.
So Drew and I went on the Slapshot Sweetheart podcast live stream for the second period of, I think it was game three of, or maybe it was game two of the Bruins Islanders series. I don't, whatever. Doesn't matter what game it was.
Dark time.
Yeah, just the worst time to go on the podcast that wasn't game six. And literally, like, I sent the video to Cam, very funny, just the, like, we both came on and they were like, hey, welcoming on like new friends, like Drew and Chris from the Brews and Bruins podcast. And like, you can see on the video, we're both like talking and saying shit, but like both of our mics are muted. And Megan goes, yep, you're both muted.
That's the most boomer thing ever.
Incredibly like Brews and Bruins podcast. Like, I knew that I was gonna say
that's a very three cheers kind of thing, because like we had someone who didn't have a Skype and we legitimately couldn't figure out how we were gonna have them on the podcast. So we were like, what do we use? And so they were like, you can use Zoom. They're like, you can use Zoom. And we were like, okay.
We don't have Zoom accounts.
And then we were like, so how do we download it? I heard that.
Don't talk about it. He doesn't fuck with Zoom, dude. He's...
All right, man. I'm going to put myself on mute and you can finish that.
No, that's, I kind of love that. That's amazing. I love that dog. No, we finally we were like, all right, well, we both have Zoom, we'll do that. And then we were like, so how do we record it? And they were like, do you have a podcast or do I? And we had to explain that we had to explain that, like, we started a podcast as a joke, and
us too.
Neither of us really knew, like, how technology worked, even though one of us literally worked in production for HBO.
Not to mention any names, but it was Mikey.
It was Michael Radigan, at Mikey Rads on Twitter.
That's the one. You know him. Well, Mikey Radigan.
You know him. He's officially been on your podcast now more than me, which gave unbelievable.
True. Well, I think officially. I think officially he is tied with you in appearances. As far as releases
go, yeah.
But if we're counting unreleased episodes, you are one ahead of him.
And now this is two for you, one for him.
Good. I'm so.
Well,
I'm
that's what I'm saying.
That's
like,
why this, I stayed on. That's why I stayed
on.
Yeah,
you had to stay for the next episode.
Just I had sure to, so I can. Yeah. So I was like, you guys don't even know him that well. Like. I was like, I've known Cam for years.
We'll keep inviting Cam, Mikey on and question. Recording
this
fake
the thing, like, you know Cam for years. You've known me way less time than you've known Mikey.
Here's the question, though. Cam, who have you known the longest? Me or Drew and Chris?
I think you, actually.
I think so.
I think you and then Drew.
So where did you guys? Well, Drew was.
Remember, I was his editor, and he was my high school intern.
Yeah. So where was that?
The only one who had good work ethic, because everyone was like,
thank you.
Yeah, she said some good shit about you last.
Well, I did. I bragged about you so hard. I was like, Cam was the best. He had such a strong work ethic. Everyone else sucked.
I was talking shit about you and me and hyping up Drew and. And Kat was like, well, here's the thing about Cam. Like, he was actually pretty good. I was like,
that's why I was friends with Cam. Because, like, everyone else that we worked with was, like,
I don't completely even remember.
So, wait, where was this that you
this
guys
worked
with? This
was fan-sided. We were.
That's what it was. I couldn't remember what it was. Yeah.
And
I forgot about that. Yeah. That was
the
like.
Others that were on our site
2014, 15?
Shouts to fan-sided, shouts to Causeway Crowd, shouts to Kaylee, shouts to Shukri, yeah.
And it was like either, it was 2013-2014 season.
Wait, but I...
2013-14 season, because you were in high school.
No, but I thought I only did like...
I think it was 20, I think you started at the 2014 draft. And you were the only one who I could like reliably send a message to and say, hey, this has not been done, would you like to do it? And you would say yes. The others were like, well, I got something to do. So...
That would have been me.
The others were adults, like, in fairness.
I love not to out myself in front of the Bruins diehards fam, but I love to be associated with a website that will let me be like, hey, I'm going to write my first article in literally a year and a half now. And it's going to be about it's going to be about Space Jam.
So... So I write for Mile High Hockey, which covers the Colorado Avalanche, and I will edit all day, every day, but I will promise articles to Tom Hunter and then not write them at least three times a month. It happens all the time.
Is it time to talk shit about Adrian Dater?
Oh, we didn't even get a chance to do that. Fuck that guy. So,
here, I've seen all the shit on Twitter. I have no fucking clue who this dude is.
Oh, can I?
But I see everybody like here? Bagging on him, and I feel like it's like I'm ready to jump on the wagon because I really trust the people that are bagging on him. But let's hear some beef. I want the full Wendy Steele here.
So this guy sucks. And I don't even care if we can keep this because like he sucks and he deserves.
Wait, I hate to interrupt this. I feel like I need a beer for this.
You do.
Yeah,
grab I feel beer. Like I need a beer for this. All right, I'll be right back.
Kat and I will chop it up while you're gone. Hey, Kat, what's up?
Yo. Yeah, every time your dog comes on screen, by the way, like...
He's not my dog. I did not know this dog until 3 days ago.
Well, how long have you known me? So
3 days ago. Wow, that was a quick beer. It was a real quick beer, Cam. I thought Kat and I were gonna have some real time together.
Yeah, I was going to invite myself over. I thought
Kat might invite me to a wedding again.
Again, you're still invited to that wedding. Like you're
going.
Officially like I was gonna say. I told Corey like I slotted in that plus one.
Fuck yes.
There's never a relationship in my life. So you are the.
I have a burgundy suit that has a navy blue.
I gotta
blue,
see this.
A navy
no,
blue
wait,
liner.
No.
That has like crossed hockey sticks with hockey pucks in it, like on the liner.
I'm the maid of honor though, so I can't match to your suit.
Oh, I okay. Yeah, never mind. Just tell me what color to wear. I have like four suits. I can figure it out. Fuck.
You're like, so how can you match this burgundy
wedding crash?
Yeah, yeah. Check out this burgundy suit. It's like my most flamboyant thing. Oh yeah, I'm the maid of honor. Sorry.
I can't. It's Corey though, and Richie is another bridesmaid. So
bridesman.
Yes. Which I am planning the bachelorette party for Vegas. So if you guys want to see Richie Suave,
can we come to the bachelorette party?
Yeah, I might.
Bachelorette party plus Bruins Bruins.
Yo, what if Bruins and Bruins are the strippers?
No, yeah, I feel like Drew would do it. I don't
Drew
know.
Would do it. Drew would do it without even questioning. Just to live stream it for the pod.
and he can get his ass tattoo. It could be all a promo in one.
Wait, so on the subject of weddings, before we get off weddings, I checked the mail today for the first time in 6 years.
You have a wedding to go to now?
No, so my roommate Lexi is going to a wedding in September. It's her best friend's wedding. She's a bridesmaid.
You gonna wear your suit?
I'm not going to this wedding, but I thought for a couple seconds I was, because I pulled out like a couple of things out of the mail and I was like, oh, this is for me. This is for me. And I had like a handful of mail that was for me. And I opened all of them and I pulled one thing out and I was like, oh, you're invited to Holly's wedding. And I was like, I've met Holly twice. She seems like a nice person. I definitely can't go to this wedding, and that's super sad. Glad she invited me. Put it back in, turn it around. Oh, that's for Lexi. It's for Lexi. I'm a big old idiot. I opened Lexi's like one of her best friend's wedding invites, and I had a very serious like conundrum in my head where like, do I tell her I did this? Or do I just like find some tape and like tape it back together? And
I feel like she wouldn't get that mad though. Like,
no, I told her and she was like, ha, you're an idiot. Which is,
I was gonna say, Ricky and I have opened
very,
each other's mail.
Personality. Yeah,
we open each other's mail all the time.
We have lived together for,
you said it's 8 years now, right?
7 years. Yeah, I've lived in this apartment for 8 years. She's been here for seven. So
you guys are a few months away from common law marriage. So
I mean, fair, like honestly.
You guys can start like rating each other off on your taxes pretty soon. So
that'd be kinda cool. I mean, like,
it's kinda cool, yeah. You guys get higher higher allowances, stuff like that.
Hell yeah.
I just need to start sending Izzy to you for part of the year. This is just a roundabout way of me
being able to,
you want to
claim dependence. Wow. I love this podcast. It's getting me tax credits.
I taught you about tax credits.
Want to know my favorite thing about Brews and Bruins? Tax credits.
Fuck.
Oh, fuck. So Adrian Dater.
Let's get there.
So this guy used to write for the Denver Post.
Fucking thing sucks.
What? Are you talking about the Denver Post or your beer?
No, that was a reference to the Bill O'Reilly thing that Pete referenced in the replies. By the way, if anyone has not seen the Bill O'Reilly like outtake thing, just go watch the
YouTube video. Oh god, that was amazing.
Him not understanding what a band playing him out and like the meltdown that follows is hilarious. I think it was like U2. It was like his producer was telling him like, "Hey, here's U2 to play us out." And he's like, "Play us out. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Fuck it. Fucking thing sucks."
He's the best.
Just the greatest thing that's ever existed on the internet, especially with just like a piece of human trash of like Bill O'Reilly.
Here we go.
You have the pillow now.
Yeah, I had the pillow. I didn't have
prepare one. For Gator.
I was getting darker and darker, and I was like blending in with the wall there. So, So Adrian Dater wrote for the Denver Post. Got himself in a lot of hot water because he kept DMing women who wrote in the hockey sphere, making sexual advances, asking them if they wanted to get drinks with him. When they would say no, he would like keep sending them messages. But I believe he is not the one who asked if they wanted to do photo shoots with him. That was, I think, a Devils guy. Because there was a bunch of them like all at once.
There was definitely a Penguins guy who got outed like around that time too.
Yeah. And
not to say that there wasn't a Devils guy also.
I think maybe it was Penguins, but the one who wanted to do photo shoots.
Probably all this.
The one who wanted to do photo shoots and was like asking if they would do tasteful ones in their underwear, stuff like that. But no, I think Dater was the one who wanted to like meet up with them in a bar. And if I get trashed, like what happens. And so somebody outed him and he got in a boatload of trouble. And instead of apologizing for being a piece of shit, he said that he had a drinking problem and that he needed to find himself again. And he thanked everyone for their patience as he sought therapy. And never apologize to the girl. And, you know, like they do. And then got angry because people were ruining his career. So he was fired by the Denver Post, went to rehab or some shit like that. Came back, continued to be a piece of garbage. Gets confrontational with everyone. Has me blocked because he reported that the league was paying the Coyotes' bills and it wasn't true. So people were like, "What's your source?" And he didn't have a source. And it came out that he'd like heard it from some disgruntled person in like another city and it was a lie. So instead of retracting it, he like got mad at everyone else. And when I then quote tweeted his direct tweet saying, someone was blaming Travis Yost for it. And I was like, "Oh, no, it was actually Adrian Dater. Here's the tweet." And I shared it and he blocked me and have been in interview scrums with him twice. He's an asshole in scrums too because he won't let anyone else talk. And he gives shitty questions anyway. Like he's notorious for trying to sound like a bro. And so,
he's the one.
I just want to sound like hockey. People.
Not even ask McKinnon. He's the one who said the stupid shit.
Said the stupid shit to McKinnon, and that's like that. When I heard that, I was embarrassed for him, but I also wasn't surprised because I think I was in a scrum with him where.
Like, are you fucking kidding me, dude?
I think there was one other guy from Denver who had come with them, and then it was only Coyotes people, and he was like, "Yeah, you know." Trying to talk to the player, he was like, "So no one else here really gets to watch you that often, but between you and me," and I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Like,
Nathan McKinnon, dude. What the fuck are you talking about?
Sucks. Look at Chris. By the way, we can see you taking pictures of the dog.
I'm gonna send this to you.
Oh, now I feel bad for making fun of you for it. But yeah, so. So Adrian Dater has gotten in trouble for harassing women. I refused to apologize for it. Blamed it on alcohol, Kanye style. and then has continued to be like an incorrigible asshole since then, makes up rumors every once in a while, can't hold down a position with sites because he keeps getting in trouble. And so he started his own. And so his question was like very embarrassing for him, but it was like also very par for the course for him. Like, I've never been less surprised by somebody.
What, do you guys think you're like, you're just like thinking too much and you're just like, fuck it.
Like, won't even
just like say stop thinking and we'll just wiggle, win the thing.
It's like, yeah, when you guys when you guys play a video game and like you sometimes have to say like, fuck it. Like, fuck
I know you're a gamer.
Yeah, when he said that, like, you could, was it, I think it was you, Chris, who was like, you watch McKinnon visibly shudder, like, visibly shake that question off of
him. He had to, like, he physically shook that question off.
He hated that.
He thought about answering, and he was like, just like, no. He's
just like, I can't do that. I can't do that.
Give me another one.
Anything that's going to come out of my mouth right now is going to get me fined, and it's your fault, you motherfucker. That's the stupidest shit I've ever heard.
So bad.
What was crazy about that, though, was like, I've seen so many people get chastised in media scrums who aren't big names, not even for asking stupid questions, but for asking the wrong question, or for asking too wordy of a question, or for trying to ask a question of a player who only really talks to established media, stuff like that. And the fact that Adrian Dater is still credentialed number one blows my mind. That dog is having a party back there. But number one, like, he's still credentialed. That's crazy to me. Number two, that's such a, like, if I feel like if I had asked that question, and I've been credentialed for 7-8 years now, I feel like even so, if I had asked that question, like, the Coyotes PR guy would have ripped me, like, the biggest asshole. He would have absolutely ripped into me.
Speaking of ripping the biggest assholes, how tough, I don't know, would if that's the question I wanted you to answered. Get us credentialed.
Extremely. Extremely.
Patrice, you're out there. You ever just think like, you know, fuck it. Just like, I'm just going to win the thing.
Just fuck it. Now, we're just trying to get our podcast credentials so we can ask Jake DeBrusk how many beers he's going to have after the media is like, hey, how do you feel about like potentially getting traded now that you're bad?
I cannot get you credentialed, but as we have established, if James Reimer or Laurent Brossoit signs with you guys, I can ask them questions for you.
Well, we have an in.
We have an in.
I mean, we're going to ask you to be on the podcast and then get them on the podcast.
The Bruins and Bruins promise. So I did ask, we can't get credentials, Garrett, but we can get you uncredentialed.
I asked Garrett Sparks if he would come on our podcast, and he was like, yeah, I'm absolutely down, because he's super into music. And then I realized that I wasn't sure if he thought that I was talking about Three Cheers or the In Goal Mag podcast. And he ended up being on the In Goal Mag podcast like a month later. Cause then the pandemic hit and like I wasn't able to have him on. But yeah, I was like, oh, maybe he thought I meant the In Goal one. And then when they asked him, he was like, oh yeah, Kat's already prepped me for this. And so I was too embarrassed to ask if he was like still down to come on mine too. So,
well, hey, you're listening to this.
Garrett Sparks will come on ours, but I'm not sure. Like, I don't know.
One way to find out.
I'll probably. He did send me a message once asking me if I would critique his game because I was helping some kids during COVID. Like, I was willing to look at video for some kids and do some dry land drills for young goalies. And he sent me a message and he was like, will you critique my game too? And I was like, shut up, Garrett.
No. Shut up. I would love to tell an NHL player, shut up, Garrett. Not even like, even if their name wasn't Garrett.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if it wasn't Garrett.
I would love to tell Brock Besser, shut up, Garrett.
Shut up, Garrett.
Very specifically Brock Besser, I think would be the,
I would
the
never best. Tell Brock Besser to shut up.
Who's the best player in the NHL to tell them, shut up, Garrett?
Tom Wilson. Shut up, Garrett.
I feel like he'd be okay.
I think you're gonna.
Yeah, I think he would understand like what you're going for, though. Yeah, I feel like it's got to be somebody who like isn't quite like in the zeitgeist enough to like understand that you're fucking with them. I think Brock Leighton Besser's Keller. Like dumb enough.
Connor McDavid.
I have nothing against Brock Besser, by the way. Like, I think he's just dumb enough to be like, no. Like, my name's not Garrett.
That's the thing. I wouldn't want to say it to anyone who's nice. Like, I wouldn't want to do it to a player who's like, oh, I'm so sorry. My name's not Garrett. Like, that would make me feel bad. That would make me feel bad.
You're like, yeah, that's what you want us to think.
So it's got to be like an asshole whose name isn't Garrett. I mean, like. Zach Rinaldo. I would love to
off
call
the
Zach
ice,
Rinaldo.
He's a really nice guy. That's the worst part. When he's not when he's not ruining people on the ice, he's like a genuinely.
I love that there was an NHL team who fielded a roster that included Milan Lucic
and Zach Rinaldo at the same
Zach
time.
Zach Rinaldo. And the wrong Richie brother. Brett Richie played on that team.
They also had the wrong Stone brother. They had Michael Stone instead of
Michael. I
didn't even know they were brothers. I thought they were
they're brothers.
Just brothers of the Rocks, unrelated Rocks.
Because the Coyotes had Michael Stone, who was drafted 69th overall.
Yeah.
No, they had the bad one. He was drafted 69th overall, though. In 07,
nice,
so super nice, I think I made a casual reference to that when I was talking to, it was either like Rick Tocchet or one of the other players. I was like, so it was kind of nice, like Michael Stone's 69th overall pick, this player is like, and then I just went somewhere else entirely and just went with that. I've made a couple nice references. I probably shouldn't.
I honestly can't believe they're brothers.
Small world.
It's fun because I actually sat by Mark Stone at a Coyotes game one time. Because Mike Fail, who is like a Flames blogger, great guy, came down to watch the Flames and the Coyotes play because he wanted Izzy to get a chance to watch Mike Smith with the Flames.
Why wouldn't you?
And who wouldn't want that? I know. So I took that game off from working and I went down and sat like in the stands, and I got tickets from the guy I used to work for with the Coyotes, with Hockey Dev. So I was sitting in like the families and wives section. And so I was sitting by Mark Stone. Look at that dog. Oh.
Who is that?
I can't.
Are you sure you don't work for the shelter?
I can't get him to shut up. There's like
in the arms of an angel.